very proud to have him here. They are doing fabulous work in Extremadura with supporting thousands of computers, just you and two other guys. It's amazing that you can do it, and we're very happy to have you here. So please welcome.
Thanks.
First of all, I'm going to try to speak slowly because my English with my terrible Spanish accent may be hard for you to understand, so I will try to do it slowly. I'm going to introducing my region and why we began to work on Linux, with Linux on the schools. First of all, I'm introducing myself, why I'm here. The first and the most important reason for me is because I am a father. A father who was worried for my children's education. Second one is that I was working in a school. I was a teacher. I'm a teacher, but I have a parenthesis in my life because I am also an engineer, and now I'm working for my government to do the latest part. I'm part of the development of Linux, and I am in charge of all the setup, configurations, application, etc. that we put in our schools. This is a small video. It's 8 minutes, but I am going to cut it after 10 seconds. It's just to put Extremadura in the map.
Here is a harsh land bypassed by so many of the developments in history. Yet now, Extremadura, one of Europe's poorest regions, has taken its future in hand to ensure history is not repeated. Deep in Spain, bordering Portugal, Extremadura is economically the fifth poorest region in the European Union. But today, it is the world leader in using free computer software, or freeware.
That's all. That's a part of a video from the year, I think it's 2002, 2003 maybe, when we began to work with this. We were maybe the first in the world who did a big deployment of computers in the schools. One of the things that the political people like to say and to know is that they were important because they were the first. If they even had a front page on the Washington Post newspaper in the USA, like the Extremadura alternative to Microsoft, so they are proud of it. I'm not a political person, so I'm going to try to explain some of the political reasons, but I will go sooner to the as soon as possible to the semi-technical and pedagogical part, trying to say what are we doing, where we have failed, and what kind of solutions we are trying to adopt to fix the fails. So, a little bit of history. In Spain, we have 17 regions. Every region has his own government. And in the year 2000, the national government gave to my region the competencies on education. So, since that day, my region was responsible of the education in the schools. We began making an intranet because as we are a very poor region with no many inhabitants, the big companies didn't want to put internet in the cities. So the government began to develop an intranet in the year 2000, and began to study in 2001 the use of free software in the schools. And the main reason was that they decided that in the past my region was very poor, in part because we lost the Industrial Revolution, so the political people thought that the new IT revolution could be something that we could achieve, and the first way to do it is beginning educating the people in the schools. When they thought of putting the computers in the schools, very soon they realized that the only possible solution was using free software. So the first version of our distribution was released on March 2002. It was a small distribution made by a private company, but very soon, just some months ago later, we take the control of the distribution. When I say we take, I mean that another teacher and me were working with Linux in our schools just in a freedom way. Nobody told us to do it, and the government knew it and called us. So since June 2002, we began to work for the government to make the distribution and to make all the deployment to the schools. So we were teachers in the public schools, and we become technical or project leaders in the government. But we are still teachers, and I hope to go back to my classes the sooner the better. Later on, we have been made new upgrades, and now we are still running the version 2006. We are preparing a new version, as my people from Escola Linux have told before. We are trying to make a version together with them, so we hope that the new version will be based on Debian and together with Escola Linux. Some numbers. There are about 160,000 students in the schools, and what the government decided was to put one computer for every two students. Only in secondary schools. There are some differences. Maybe I will insist on these differences because primary schools has a model very similar to the model you have in Norway, but in secondary schools the model is different. We have no computer labs. Every classroom have in every desktop one computer, and in every desktop there are two students. So that's why the numbers are so high, because if we have 160 students, we need 2,000 machines. So in secondary, every classroom has the computers in the classroom. In primary schools, we have labs. We have one, two, three labs, depending on the size of the schools. So we have been working for maybe more than 5 years, if you so far. Politically, we have a ministry, education ministry. In fact, there are two ministries involved, but for education, an important part is this ministry. And the project has three parts. The first part was the internet. The government paid to a company to develop the internet because they didn't want to do it. In fact, nobody wanted to do it, but the government decided to do a bid, and many companies came to the bid. So some business was available, and they did. And this is being made by the government, and there is a small public company to make training, publicity, congresses, etc. Some numbers. These numbers are from the year 2003, because that year the project was split between two ministries, the Science and Technology Ministry and the Education Ministry. So this is the latest year with the numbers together. I haven't been able to access to all the numbers in 2006, so this is a little old, but things haven't changed. I think we have spent very few money since then, because this was the beginning. Even if the number is very big, you have to take into account that most, the biggest part of the pie is the servers and the computers that we buy to put in the schools. This is to put one computer for every two students. So this is the biggest part. If you look at the software and the hardware we need to develop, it's a small part. And to put it in context, you have to think that Extremadura has a GDP of about 67% of the average of the European Union. So we are a poor region, and this was an important effort for us. Some other regions in Spain today say that we are rich people because we have computers in the schools, and they don't. But they decided to spend money in other things. We decided to spend the money on the schools. So now we have the computers in the schools and they don't. I don't know if these numbers means anything for you, because I know in Norway the schools are more independent and the budgets are more limited for every school. But it's a government. When we began to work, this is some of the things we have done. We began from the beginning working with Debian. We choose Debian between some of the distributions because Debian people work for the users. Some of the distribution, that's something that somebody reminds me yesterday. Some of the distribution are working for the users and also to make money. Debian developers only work for the user and give us the freedom and give us the duocracy possibility. So we choose Debian. There were many applications that weren't in Spanish, so we did the translations. We have created new applications. That's something very important. I will go back later, because in the beginning we just put the computers with some software, some educative software in the computers, but very soon we get the feedback from the teachers. And because of that feedback, we have developed some applications and some configuration, etc. And this is something that was done in the beginning, is before installing the computers, every teacher has to go to two different training courses. The first one, to teach them how to use the computer in general, how to use the mouse, the filters, or the folder, etc. And the second one, to teach him how to use the computer in his subject. If you are a math teacher, you know how to use the computer for math. That was done only the first year. Later on, every year there are an offer of some courses, and the teachers are free to go or not. And we also have begun to put interactive boards in primary schools, only in primary schools, not in secondary. These are some of the things we have done because of the feedback from the teachers. One of them is Control Aula. This is an application that many teachers ask to us, because one of the reasons the teachers didn't switch on the computers in the beginning, it was because they were scared. They were afraid because quite often students knew more about computers than them. So I have been in some training courses for teachers where some teachers pick up the mouse with the left hand, and to do a double click, they did something like this. So it's very common that, especially in old people or some people who just don't like technology, they didn't know how to use the computers, and they were afraid. They were afraid because the boys, the children knew much more than them. So we developed this tool. This tool is called Control Aula. Aula means classroom in Spanish. So it's control of the classroom. So the teacher now always have the control of the classroom, even if the student knows a lot of computers. The teacher can switch on, switch off, individually, globally, the computers, can share the printers, can cut internet to one user, send the files between them, see the student desktop, make all the students to see his own desktop, etc. There are some other things, just like sending messages or that broadcasting video. Most of the design of this application was done just listening to the teachers. We get involved in some other tools. There are a lot of free software projects, and some of them were very important for us. We are getting involved in a lot of them. The main one is Debian, of course, but some others that maybe you don't know, like Squeak, or there is a very special project. It's called Gambas. Gambas is something very critical for us. You know, if you have been working with computers for some time, you know that many people knows how to make programs with Visual Basic in Windows. When we put the computers in the schools, there were some teachers, well, maybe 5-6% of the teachers, that were in the schools the kings in technology. The principal always called those teachers to ask for help, and those teachers were the people who were the power, who had the power for the IT. When we put the computers with Linux, they lost that power, because they didn't know how to do many of the things they could do with Windows. Gambas is an application that allows anybody who knows how to program with Visual Basic begin to program visual applications in Linux in 10 minutes. If you know Visual Basic, in 10 minutes you are programming in Linux. In the beginning, Gambas was in a very early state, so we invested some resources, money, programmers, etc. And now Gambas is a very complete application. This application is made in Gambas and allows to any computer hobbyist to begin to program graphically and easily. Maybe it's not the best program language to make a very important application, but it's very useful for people who like computing. We also have made a lot of customizations for the desktop and for the to administrate the school easily. More things. We prepared a collection of the software and classified it. That was something also important, because there are a lot of educative software around, but sometimes it's very but organized. So we prepare the collection and put it easily to be used for the, by the teachers with a special menu. So if you are a math teacher, you just have to go to the maths menu and you get all the applications. And for primary schools, we made something very special. Out there is a laptop with a special distribution we made for primary schools. It's called Linux Colegios. Colegios mean schools in Spanish. Because when we began to set up the labs in the primary schools, we very soon we saw that teachers didn't like that. Students didn't like that. In secondary school, they were using the computers, but not in primary schools. They just didn't like that. So what we did was... What we did was calling some primary teachers, give them a collection of applications. They classify the application depending on the age. And we call a teacher who was a designer and make some special drawings. And we prepare a special desktop with three levels. One for people, for children who didn't know how to read or write. Another one for the students who were beginning to read. And another one for the students that knew and they were good at reading in between 9, 12 years in primary schools. Three different desktops, classifying the application in different bars, funny bars that you only have to one click. Many teachers said, oh, this is great for students. It's a lie. Students who use everything. That's great for the teachers. For the teachers who didn't know how to do a double click. And for the teachers who like to see the things easily. You know, you give a new cell phone to a kid and he will be using in 10 minutes. You give that the same phone to a teacher and maybe it will take much more time. Or to me. So, even if it looks childish, in fact, all the interface was thought with the teachers in mind. And it was a terrible success. Behind, we had the same applications we had before. The same. We didn't change the application. You have the same web browser, the same open office, the same video player, the same educative applications, but now you have different menus. Instead of menus, you have bars, animated bars. You have nice characters, etc. And it was a success. So that's something that I really love. How are we working today? Today we have, in every school, one server. In some very big schools, with more than 900 computers, two. But most of them, only one. In every secondary school, we have one person. Because secondary schools have between 500 and more than 1,000 computers. And that's something that needs one person there. Only to change or to fix network cables or to fix some configuration for the user or to change a mouse, you need somebody there because there are too many computers. We are talking about more than 500 computers in all the secondary schools. Every teacher, oh, it should be out, not one. Every teacher has his desktop and can log in any computer in the school. In secondary school, it's the same for students, not in primary schools. In primary schools, they don't have an account. Depending on the age, they just click on the character for their age. But there are not accounts for the children in primary schools. And technically, we have a pyramid. We have one main server in the government. The server in the school connect to the main server to do the things, and the computers in the school connect to their school server. So following the pyramid, I can today change a line in my main server, and in less than an hour, all the 80,000 computers will have changed. So that's something that for me is very powerful, very easy, and saves a lot of travels and money. Extremadura is not the biggest region in Spain, but it can take to me more than 3 hours to go to some parts of the region like that. To support the schools and to support the people who is working with computers in the school, we have some other things, like an automatic inventory. Every computer, just when connect to the network, send its data to the central server, so we know how is every computer, what's the state of the computer, and if somebody has changed a network card or video card, etc. We have a call center with a web application, so the principals or the teachers can phone or can use a web interface. And we are still giving every year courses. These are some of the things we are working now. Apart from putting the computers in the schools, we are trying to centralize as many services as possible. And not only centralized, we are trying to use the sign once ID, sign once login. So we have a very big application, it's called Raduela, to organize all the things related to the Ministry of Education. There you can find and you can manage the budget of our school, and you can manage the attendance of the children. Yesterday my oldest daughter was ill, and I received immediately an SMS telling that my daughter wasn't in the school. So it's a special, very big application that manages all that, qualification, etc. Everything is centralized, and depending on the role you have, you can get some information or not. Now we are preparing a new bid for a new tool linked to this one, trying to centralize the contents, because there are a lot of contents around. Many teachers have made contents, all our regions in Spain have made contents, other people around the world have made contents, and we want to organize the content in the curricula and linked to this tool. So whenever a student go to his classroom, depending on the schedule the student has, automatically he should see the contents related to his subject and his level. And also we are going to give the students the possibility to have their own portal and to interchange information and portal with other students, and same for the teachers. We're working in a new version of the distribution for primary school. In fact, we are not working yet. We are just thinking. We plan to begin to work after Christmas. We are thinking now new changes to the interface for the primary schools. And this, I should have removed this line. This is a new tool we are using to administer the system. It's just for geeks. This is some of the things we have seen after 5 years. Why are we using free software? We haven't switched to another thing. Well, something that sounds very strange to the people. We have no antivirus. We have never had an antivirus. And we have never had a virus. And we have more than 200,000 users around in 5 years, browsing the web, most of them children, doing anything you can imagine, and we have never had a virus. There hasn't been any interactions. The system is safe. We haven't had no problem at all. So the security by now is been pretty well. For the administration, something very funny. In some secondary schools where we have one person to manage the computers, in some of them, because they are teaching some professional things, they need some Windows machines just to teach special tools. They have maybe one classroom with 15 computers or 10. And the staff, the IT staff in the schools, very often complains to me that they spend much more time fixing, maintaining those 10 machines than maintaining the rest of the 700 machines in the school. So maintenance supporting is much more easier using free software. Also, we are managing 500 primary schools only with two persons, another person and me. So from my laptop in the office, I can change anything. I can support 500 schools with one, two, or three computer labs. We are deciding where we spend money. So some of the other guys have talked about making things cheaper. We are a government and we can afford some luxuries. So we can buy things. And we have some money, not too much because we are not very rich, but we can spend the money in the things. But using free software, we can choose where we spend the money. We are not spending the money in licenses. We are spending the money in making contents, in giving training courses to the teachers. And whenever we spend the money stays in the region. It doesn't go abroad. It doesn't go to California, to wherever. When we have to make some modification or we have to contract external company, we contract companies from the region or from the nation. We don't have to pay anything to nobody outside. So I think that's important too. And we have the freedom to fix, to adapt, to change, to do whatever we want with the software. With some other private software, you can do things. In the past, I have modified menus of some applications. But even if you can do that, most of the times, it is not legal. So, yeah, we can do it, and we have no legal problems. And that's very important if you are a government.
You can tell the others that you did it.
Yeah. Nobody's recording. So,
I'll edit it.
We can do whatever we want without any problem. And when you are a government, not having legal problems is very important. Now I want to talk a little bit about problems. Problems we have had in the past, because this is not an ideal world. As Knut has said before, accidents happen, and problems arise. Some of the problems. Teachers who used computers in the past has had an inertia to go to something different. So in the beginning they didn't feel very comfortable using free software because they knew how to make a screencast with some XX tools, and they didn't have that tool now. They have another one. So in the beginning the inertia of the teachers who used computers was a problem. The main problem was that most of them didn't use computers in the classroom. They used computers. Some of them use computers at home to make some word processing, etc. In the year where we began, most of them didn't even have internet. In the year 2002, internet was in at home using the traditional phone line or using, in the best of the cases, ISDN. So most of them didn't know anything about internet. This is very important for me. It's a personal problem. We are very few people, only two, sometimes three, depending on the season. And we have to fix many things, and we have to prepare new things, and we have to support many people. And sometimes we are just fixing things, just fighting against the fires. And sometimes we need some time to sit down and think globally. So. Some the kind of meetings like this meeting, talking to some people from the world and knowing what they have done and seeing what they have done and interchanging ideas and learning a lot are very important for me, because when we are for the year for the academic course working in our desktop in the office, we are just worried, fixing things and working as fast as possible, but not thinking globally. That's something we have to do more often. Just stop, think, and share. A very important problem for us, especially in the last 2 years, when the internet was developed in the beginning, it was great because most of the people didn't have internet at home. But today, most of the people have at home ADSL lines with 2, 3, even 20 megabytes. In the school, we have 2 megabytes for the whole school. It could be nice if in the primary schools, but think of a secondary school with 700, 900 computers sharing a 2 megabyte line. That was a problem because the internet was designed in the year 2001. So that's something we have to fix. And the latest problem was that the computers are now 5 years old. The life of the computers are around that date, 5 years, 6 years. But with 5 years old, the computers are a little old, and of course they are much more slower than the computers that people buy it in the shop, in the shops. So when a children get a new computer for Christmas at home and then go back to the school, he checks that the computer in the school is much slower than the computer that he has at home. And that's a small problem. And you cannot throw away 80,000 computers. Some solutions. Well, to think globally, the integration with Debian Edu, the merge with Scholar Linux people, because doing that, we can learn a lot, we can share the work, and everybody can focus in the things that can do better. And that's very important for me, because as I said at the beginning, I'm a father, I'm a teacher, and I'm very worried for the educational applications and for the pedagogical uses. And I'm not very worried about how the installer or the distribution works. But I have to do it now. I would like to give that work to people who do that work much better than me. And the same with some other things. I think we can give a lot to the Debian Edu project, but I think we can receive much more from the project. So that's one of the reasons we are merging. Another solution is a new public bid for the internet. In fact, it has already happened. It was in July, and from January we will have fiber to most of the secondary schools with 100 megabytes of the speed, so things are going to be much better. And we are also checking some repository of contents on repository of applications from more people around the world. There are some Brazilian, even in the United States, there are some very interesting repositories with contents, and we are studying the way to integrate those contents in our curriculum to make the teacher the possibility to use them. Yeah? Oh, I have 2 minutes, so I'm finished. More things we are doing. We are now buying 3,200 computers. I have written terminal servers because they are going to act as terminal servers, but they are not servers. They are just good computers. We have paid, I think it was 650 euros per everyone, and they have 8 gigabytes of memory, and they have a very good hard disk, etc. We have bought them because the 80,000 computers that are in the schools are going to begin to work like thin clients, because now they are old. So we are going to replace in every classroom one computer, your teacher computer. So the students are going to keep the old computer but working as a thin client against the teacher computer. The teacher computer is going to be a very new and good computer. So that's one way to avoid the problem of the computers getting older and the computers getting slower than the laptops children have at home. We began to do that in May in a secondary school, and I think we will finish the deployment on December. So on December we will have all those computers acting as thin clients. Anyway, those computers are 5 years old, 6 years old, they are going to fail sooner or later. So sooner or later we have to begin on replacing the computers. The decision has been a little hard, and we have had a lot of discussion, political discussion, economical discussions, technical discussions, and finally the decision is to use laptops. We are going to buy laptops to replace the old computers. So whenever old computers get broken, we are going to buy 2 laptops. Because we are going to go one by one. So every student will have his own laptop. We have go for laptops because we were studying the thin client solutions, buying small thin clients, and they were cheap, but they had a problem, is that they need an LCD screen. We have had some meetings with the most important LCD vendors, like Samsung and etc., and they told us that at the end of the year 2008, they were going to sell only 19 or 20 inches LCDs, screens. And you cannot put to 19 inches LCD screen in every desktop. It's crazy. You can buy 15 inches LCD screen, but they are very expensive. If you want to buy cheap and good screen, you have to go to the major vendors, and they only sell 19 screen, 19 inches or 20 inches screens. And you cannot put that in the table.
Yeah, but that's the problem.
That's the problem. So if you want to put a small LCD screen, the cheaper solution is go for a laptop, because a laptop cost less than a screen, a thin client, plus the cables to join them. So the laptop is cheaper. And we are beginning this year with a pilot, especially to see what kind of laptop we are going to use and to see what kind of use we are going to give to the laptops. If the children are going to take the laptop at home or not, if the children are going to move the laptops inside the school, if we are going to use wireless or not, etc. Anyway, for technical security reasons, those laptops will work as low-fat clients in the school. I don't care if they are going to take the laptops at home or not. Whenever they are in the school, they are going to work like low-fat clients, because we want to maintain this, because the management of the school is easier, because we guarantee that whenever the laptop is plugged in the network, it will work. So if the child takes the laptop at home and makes something wrong and breaks the hard disk, when he goes back to the school doing this, the laptop will work. The software will be there and the configurations will be right. So those laptops are going to be used as low-fat clients in the schools. I don't care if they are going to take it or not. That's a pedagogical and political decision that is not taken yet. It will depend on the pilot. That's all. If you have any questions, you can meet me any moment in time.
We have 5 minutes now.
5 minutes or later, whenever you want.
Any questions?
Yeah, I would mention that you tell the people here that your government is inviting the developer, and I was last year. I was there, and it should be said how we develop together.
Yeah, that's one of the way we decide where we spend the money. We spend the money inviting the developer to some meetings in the region, 2 or 3 or 4 meetings in the year. We spend the money in these things instead of in licenses.
What subject?
Computing. I am a teacher of computing in a professional school. So I teach the students to use computing in industry. It's special computing, not general computing.
Yeah? In your decision to use laptops, are you concerned about upgrading the components? Because with a desktop, it's much easier to swap out RAM.
Yeah, but even in this case, it's cheaper, because there are very cheap laptops around.
Yeah, I don't know that it's very cheap. What kind of software do you teach?
PLCs, it's to program PLC robots, etc.
Okay, so it's special industry.
It's a special
software.
Industry software, okay. Yeah. From Siemens and Homegrown, do you know them?
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yes? Once again, you had to show this quick. Thank you. I understand Spanish, so I saw such a lot of nice teaching material you have there. It's amazing. And we need really people who translate it into German. Well, of course, into Norwegian also, but into German at first, because it's so...
English first!
We have done a lot of work with this Quig, and I think you should mention
it. I don't think we have time to do that, because Quig is very special.
Yes, okay, but you can look at it in
we draw stuff, can you do that? Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay, 1 minute break.
The Line EDU desktop that you had there, is it translated to any other language than Spanish?
Not yet. Is it only in Spanish?
only in Spanish.
But for the next version, as we are going to work inside Debian 8, it's going to be internationally. In fact, I think you can use it even in a region, because the applications are standard applications. It's only the desktop, the icons for the application. So you should be able to use easily. Just saying, it's only my bag, the teacher, trash, maybe three or four names in Spanish. The rest are just the icons to start the applications that are already internationalized.
Okay.
Anyway, the next version will be.
And it's possible to download from.
Yeah, I have brought only one DVD, and Taiwanese people have it. So yeah, maybe you can make copy if you want.
Yeah.
I must say anyway that it's from the year 2004. So maybe if you use in a very new hardware, it won't work. Yeah. Because
is it possible to download from the internet?
Yeah. I think we have. Oh. Yeah, if you go to linux.educarex.x, in this link you will get all the information and you can download it. In the first of the links, there are more things below, but this is the first one.
We still do one more question.
How do you control access for the children to unwanted site on the internet, sex and perverse and?
For January, it will be controlled by the telecommunication company. They have a special filter for that. A special filter that can be modified in the school by the teachers with white and blacklist. Today we are doing, using our free software tool, but in the contract with the telecommunication company, they have included that. So from January, it will be done by the telecommunication company with one software that I don't know what they are using. Today, we are using Dance Guardian. It's a free software.
I can answer a bit more. It's possible in Debian to, at least on the, when you have a thin client server situation, you can provide a blacklist or whitelist filter within the thin client server, so that all thin clients will be blocked from programs and sites that you do not want them to visit.
And then you have to know all the addresses or
well,
the sites.
No, you can pay for an external white or blacklist filter and include it.
Okay.
Most schools do it that way, or they have a citywide contract on it.
Mm.
Yeah.
And you also can put only words in the blacklist. Some words.
Okay.
The real problem is, of course, that it doesn't really work.
No.
Because people like me would always be able to go through it. If you only need one pupil in the school to figure it out, and then the rest will learn it.
Well, we kind of trust our students not to visit us.
More of that.
The answer is that blacklists are available on all the red lists. You can get it for free, it's very updated.
Yeah.
Or you can pay a service if you don't want to think about it yourself. It
yeah.
depends. Yeah. That's the basic answer.
So, should we break for lunch?
I think we should, really.
Yeah. Yeah.